It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss, certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlantis Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta, Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. As life changes and we all go through stages as parents, WSB is turning into a, looks like an elementary school here. We've got two Moss boys. You've got Ben, you got Luke, you got Floyd Hillman's son in there, Dakari. I mean, the whole place is just, it's like becoming Morningside Elementary School here in Sherwood Forest. So good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here. I'm your host, Wes Moss, here every Sunday morning to take your calls, your questions. We're talking about this giant active versus passive investment debate. What do you do, ETFs or an active fund or a passive fund or an index fund, and the blending of the two and the three? There's this giant continuum, and it's all driven by emotion. That's the bottom line here. That's never going away. Neither are these investment options because of that very fact. And we're going to continue to talk about that. But I want to go to the phone lines and answer your calls and your questions. So if you have something that has to do with a pension or an investment product or an IRA question or 401k or retirement-based question, then we love talking about that here on Money Matters. We were just having a conversation about 401k versus an IRA and a Roth. How do you navigate that? The multiple options, and we're going to continue to do so. The number here in the studio, 404-872-0750. Again, 404-872-0750 for folks listening in Texas and California, Washington State, and Michigan, 1-800-WSB-TALK. I am going to start with, let's see here, what does Ryan say to do? We are going with line, okay. TJ from Lawrence Hill. TJ, good morning, welcome to Money Matters. How can I help, my friend?
Hi, good morning. So I have a defined benefit pension plan that I can either take a lump sum or take an annuity. The lump sum would be about, I don't know if you want to hear numbers or not.
Sure, numbers, yeah. Make it fun.
Yeah, so the numbers are, as of July of June 30th of last year, 2016, was about $137,500.
Okay, that is the lump sum offer,
right?
Okay,
and they're saying that the monthly annuity of that would be $870, which is, I'm sure, is just myself and not including my wife's shared benefit to that.
All right, so that again, and we would call that a single life annuity. So it covers you. Is that, typically you at least have the, do you have the option to do one that covers your spouse for life, TJ?
Yes. Yeah, it would be something less than $870.
A little bit less. Okay, so It's always good to start with the what is really just called the single life option. So, and you've probably done the test here, but there's a lot of variables. Let's start quickly with the test. So the 6% test simply is you take your monthly amount, multiply it by 12, right? So 870 times 12 is 10,440. And then we just divide that by what you would otherwise be able to get in a lump sum payment, $137,500. So that equals a 7.59% effectively guaranteed rate of return, which is pretty darn good. And yeah, the way I look at these pensions is that anything, if the monthly income equates to a 6% return of capital, rate of return, however you want to think about it, because some of this is your own money they're just giving you back. Remember that too.
Okay.
Because you could otherwise take the $137,500. That's your money. And then you can, on your own, produce 5, 6, 7% a year over time. Otherwise, what you're doing here is you're giving it back to them, and then they're just guaranteeing this. So I always ask, so from a numerically, that certainly beats the 6% test, which lends itself to take the monthly amount and not take the lump sum. If you're well 6% or higher, you start to say, well, wait a minute, this monthly amount is pretty good to be able to have your own investment account effectively guarantee 7.5% a year forever. That's a pretty hard hurdle to guarantee yourself, right?
Right.
The difference though here, would it vary? The first question here is though, how much further does it go down if you cover your spouse? Because something happens to you in year three. Now, the family, your family really missed out because you could have had $137,000. You only took a payment of $10,440 for 3 years. You only got $31,000. You left over $100,000 on the table.
Right.
So TJ, that's the question mark, and that's why. How old are you guys? How much younger is your wife? Younger or older?
She's just 6 months younger.
So
I'm 66.
You're both mid 60s. I would say that again, from a planning perspective, typically wives have a longer life expectancy. That's obviously impossible to forecast, but I think that the next question goes into, how about the other retirement income? Have you started taking social yet? Social Security?
Just started this month.
And then do you have any other pensions from any other companies, and or does your wife have a pension?
No. There was another pension I had with a previous company. I took the lump sum on that a couple of years ago and invested in a self-directed IRA. It's been kind of going sideways since then.
What year, TJ, what year, how long has it been going sideways?
But I think it'll be 2 years in July.
Got it. Okay. So I guess my question is this. I always go back to the gap. You've got social, your wife has social, and you both started. What does that add up to every month now?
Well, she's not drawing hers yet. She's going to draw, she's eligible to take her spousal Social Security, because she earned her own Social Security, which was not insignificant. So she's going to take her spousal Social Security beginning at 66 in November, and then when she turns 70, she'll apply for her own Social Security, which will be about $3,300 a month. I'm getting $2,561 a month gross.
Is $5,800 a month, which is pretty significant.
Right.
How much, I guess my question is, if that's the case and you already got this other IRA money, well, how much other investment money do you guys have?
Okay. So total dollars, including this $138,000. So I guess the bottom line question is, should I take the $800 a month roughly, or should I take the lump sum and add it to the $2 million I have of investable dollars.
So you've already got another $2 million that is ready to produce income for you.
Right.
And that's a big variable. So if you told me, TJ, if you said, you know, I've got $100,000in one IRA, and if I take this $138 as a lump sum, I'd have another $138, so I'd have $238 total. I'd say, you know what, TJ, even though the monthly amount is a really good number, a solid rate of return that's virtually guaranteed. Again, and it's a low enough amount that even if the company that is giving it to you goes out of business, God forbid, it's still going to be covered by the PBGC, the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation, right?
Right, yeah.
Because it's under a certain level.
Yeah, the company's been around for 100 years. That's one thing I asked them, is I'd want to make sure they weren't selling that or buying an annuity from some insurance company, and they're not.
Got it. So either way, it's safe. And I'd say that if you didn't have a whole lot of other liquid retirement savings money, IRAs and non-IRAs, so brokerage accounts, and there's anything that you can get to, then I'd say, you know what, TJ, you need to take the lump sum. Even though you've got this great 7.5% rate of return, I'd say if you've only got another $100,000 total saved, then you need to take that lump sum because it needs to be part of the overall retirement plan, and it's the flexible money you can get to. However, in your particular case, you've got plenty of other liquidity. You've got another $2 million that's already saved. Yeah. I would look at this and say, you know what, this is. What's the math on that? 135 divided by 2 million is about 7% of your money. Well, yeah. You probably have 7%. You're going to have, as a balanced income investor, let's say, you're still going to have a fairly significant percentage in bonds and things that are there for safety and stability and income. I'd look at that money as part of that equation and say, you know what, I can't get a guaranteed 7.5% anywhere else. I might as well take the monthly pension amount and count that towards my fixed income or my bond, my safe allocation, because you have plenty of other money that you can get to. And you can now make the financial decision and say, well, that's a really good deal. And I bet you if you take the, even if you take the spousal amount that your wife is covered for the rest of her life, which I believe you probably want to do.
I will, yeah.
It's not going to go down dramatically. It's not as if it's going to go down to 4.5% rate of return. Usually I'll see it drop by maybe 1%. So I bet you it'll still meet the 6% test. I bet you it'll still be 6.25, 6.5 to cover both of your lives. And that makes it a pretty good deal for your particular situation to take that monthly amount and not take the lump sum. So that would be my vote. But knowing now more about the bigger picture for TJ, for you and your wife, I would lean towards, in your particular case, I'd be leaning towards taking the technically the guarantee by either people, whether you say it's guaranteed by the company or the PBGC, either way, that I'd make that part of your overall investment allocation, because it's pretty tough to guarantee yourself 6.5 to 7% otherwise. And you look at this as a really important sliver of the pie or piece of the pie for your overall planning. And I think in your particular case, the monthly amount can make a lot of sense. You're listening to Money Matters. If you'd like to speak with me and the Money Matters team throughout the week, easy to do so. The website, wesmoss.com, WESMOSS.com. Those contact emails, upper right-hand corner, there's an envelope. Those emails come straight to me and Ryan Ely, and we're happy to read them. We'll get back to you within 48 hours and happy to talk your particular situation through either live or in person, or live, either on the phone or in person. Happy to do so. News, weather, traffic, straight ahead, then more Money Matters right here.
Now, here's more great money and investment advice from certified financial planner Wes Moss.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. Pammy joins us on the line from Snellville. Good morning, Pammy. What's going on? How can I help you?
Yes, I'm getting ready to retire in 3 years, and I want to make sure that I'm maximizing my money. And now I have it in a fixed. I mean, I have it in a 401k. I think it's a 301 or 403B. I don't understand all those. But anyway, I'm a teacher.
Oh, 403B. I like 401, 3B, 457 plan. Kind of a combined everything. No, it's actually 403B you've got. But okay. So, but is it all, is this Tia Kraft? Is this what this is? Or Valak? Pammy, I bet you anything she just dropped off. That's okay.
Hello?
Oh, yeah, you're back. You faded in and out of consciousness here. So inside your 401k, the 403B, you have, is this a Valak or a Tia Kraft annuity? Which kind of annuity is it?
It's a Valak.
Got it. And you're in what's the rate of return in the fixed annuity?
In the fixed, I think it's like 5% something. It's very minimal. But I just got burned in 2008. So I just don't want to jump back into the market full force. And I have a child in college, and I'm the sole supporter of the child.
Okay, so you've got to be careful, obviously, here. You don't want to roll the dice with too much exposure to the stock market. So I guess, what is your question then?
My question, I just wanted to make sure that I was doing the right thing, that keeping a larger chunk of that in fixed was better. It's better to do that.
How old are you, Pammy? How many years until you think you will retire? Did you say 3 more years?
Yes, sir. It'll be 3 more years. Uh-huh.
And how old are you?
I am 54.
So you're super young. So that would put you as a super early retiree, not just an early retiree, but I would say that's on the really, really early end. Which
right.
means that, and then that's important because you have a really long time horizon.
Right.
And then
right.
we've got to factor in your child in college. So you know what? Hang on. I have a couple of thoughts for you. We're going to go to a quick break, Pammy. So just hang with me for a minute here.
Sure.
And we'll get back to your question. You're listening to Money Matters with me, Wes Moss, right here, News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
Wes Moss, certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlantis Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta, Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here, WSB Radio. Let's go back to the phones here as we are continuing to try to help Pammy. Pammy from Snellville, we are trying to figure out for you this question about a fixed annuity inside your retirement plan. So you remind us again, you're a super early retiree. I mean, you're only 54 and you're thinking about retiring in 3 years?
Well, I was planning on, I have a microbiology degree, and I was planning on doing some hospital work with that degree after I retire from teaching. But I also get, I would get a state retirement and also a county retirement.
So you've got a state retirement, you've got a county retirement,
right.
You're a microbiologist saving the world, and a teacher, and you put all these things together. Well, here's the other question. Have you been paying into Social Security as well?
Now, my county opted out of Social Security, so that's what I was doing with the tax-sheltered annuity. I was paying like the 8% that I would have paid in Social Security into that, you know, into the fund.
Good for you. That's awesome. All right. Well, so you don't have Social, but you're going to have you have two separate pensions.
Right.
Got it. All right. And were you married as well?
I am divorced. So everything's been settled there. He has no right to my pension.
Got it. Well, question, do you have a right to his social a spousal benefit for his Social Security?
Yes, I do.
All right, you do. Now, granted, part of that will be, it sounds like part of that will be offset.
Right.
By what's called the GPO, the government pension offset.
Right.
Which is actually a fairly big offset versus there's another offset called the WEP, the windfall elimination provision. But the GPO goes back to a spousal benefit.
Right.
So it might wipe out a lot of that because I bet you your pensions are pretty significant. So how many years have you been a teacher?
I've been a teacher 27 years.
Oh, so you're going to get to 30 and then you're okay. That makes a lot of sense then. So you're teacher 27, get 3 more years into TRS and you're going to have really your full pension, which will be really, really solid, plus the county pension.
Right.
So, you know, I look at it a couple different ways. Now that I have more information about this,
right.
You could look at this a couple different ways because you have two separate pensions and maybe even a little bit of Social Security, you're going to have these three separate income streams that'll probably, do you think that those three together will cover living expenses? I mean, is that enough to live on?
Right. That's enough to live on when my daughter is out of college. She wants to go into the medical profession. So that's probably another 3 or 4 more years.
Is she in college yet?
Yes. She's in her senior year.
She's already senior. Okay, got it. So, yeah, you work 3 more years full time, and she still needs some support if she's going into med school or anything medical. She's
right,
got another, yeah, you're right. She's got another 3 to 4 really lean years before she makes any money, and you're still working full time. So, you'll be able to continue to fund that. When she's done, Pammy, then you will be in the position to retire. The other thought here is that I also like the thought of this part-time, even if it's part-time work, if you go into microbiology with your degree.
As a med tech is what I was thinking about. And I also will try just a little bit of Social Security. I worked in it for 8 years before I went into teaching.
But either, and either way, though, it sounds like because you were married for more than 10 years, you have a potential to have some Social Security in that regard, but again, it might be offset by the GPO. I don't know the exact numbers, but I think that as we continue to talk this through, what I'm thinking for you is that if I now go back to the liquid assets, which again, the 403B that you have, that's part of the liquid equation. That's all the supplemental That's the supplemental piece. So let's say that the pensions add up to the state pension, the county pension, social. Let's say that adds up to $5,000 a month.
Right.
Then if you need six, you're going to have another $1,000 that gets generated by your savings. What is the savings? You've got your 403B. How much have you put into that? How much is in there now?
Of the 401B?
Yes.
It's about $155,000.
And then do you have any other savings beyond that 403B? Any other IRAs?
I've been a sole supporter of my daughter since the divorce. There's no money coming from the dad. And so that's kind of drained my savings.
Got it. Well, but you've done a lot of your own savings through working all these years and contributing to these retirement plans from a pension perspective. So you, to some extent, you've made up for that and then some because of the pensions that you have. So really, you could look at this two ways. And the reason I wanted to get the background on this is that it helps me frame how you should potentially invest the money that you do have saved. And I look at this and I say, well, Pammy's got all these different income streams. So you really have retirement buttoned up, if you will, because these are virtually guaranteed pieces. So to some extent, I would say, you know, you don't need to keep the retirement money in something that's only earning you. And when you say 5%, I think that's probably really, really high. It's probably more like 3.
I don't even know. I didn't pay attention.
Fixed annuities right now are not, the fixed options, I don't think they're nearly as high as 5. I could be wrong on that, but if I were to venture a guess, it's probably more like 3.5.
Okay.
But at least it's something. I would just say that you don't need to be overly conservative there because you have all these other income sources. So I would look at it and go back to my 15-50 stock rule, which is if you've got 15 years or more of a horizon, which you clearly do because you're going to retire it before you're really, let's call it right around 60, or even early late 50s, and then you work part-time, then you should have some exposure to the equity market. So I would say that on the fixed side, which is very much like the bond side of the equation, I'd say up to 50%, 50% of your $155,000 could be in the fixed side, but I think the other side needs some stock exposure.
Okay.
So don't be afraid because if I'm looking big picture for you, don't be afraid to have at least half of the investment money exposure to the equity markets. And I'm sure within that plan, you've got an S&P 500 option, a large cap growth or value option inside of that. And I think it's very appropriate for you to have exposure to that. I'd say to the tune of somewhere in the 50% range, I think is a very prudent way to approach it. So, Pammy, thank you so much for your call. Fascinating planning question and conversation we've had here this morning. We've got to do quick weather here. Today, cloudy early with peaks of sunshine later, high of 85. So a little steamy and hot. Tonight, scattered showers, low 68. Monday, thunderstorms in the morning with partly cloudy skies late, high of 74, low 54. Good morning. You are tuned into Money Matters. I'm your host, Wes Moss, here for Sunday morning. And Ryan Ely, do we have to go to Prize Pack?
We most certainly do.
Let's do it. Let's do WSB Weekend Prize Pack.
The Weekend Prize Pack is a pair of tickets to see Paul McCartney on July 13th at Infinite Energy Arena. And tickets go on sale Monday, May 1st at 10 a.m. at InfiniteEnergyCenter.com. You'll also receive a 4-can case of True Fuel Outdoor Motor Oil. This week's trivia question.
I think it's the first time we've had motor oil.
It tied
in the prize
nicely
pack
into the Paul McCartney part. It did. True Fuel Outdoor Motor Oil.
Wonderful.
This week's trivia question. Can you tell me that Paul McCartney was a member of the Beatles? The Beatles are the best-selling group by album sales of all time. Can you give me one of the other top five best-selling artists by record sales ever?
I'm still trying to figure out your tie between motor oil and Paul McCartney. That I'm still trying to connect the dots.
I'm sure he has had a lot of cars in his time.
That's where it's coming from. I don't know why I didn't think of that immediately. Paul McCartney.
I go right there with
a lot
Paul
of cars equals lots of motor oil. Now I get it.
Mm-hmm. Tied it all together.
And now you know how the brain of Ryan Ely, the synapses work. here on a Sunday morning. Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. We've got a couple minutes here, and I want to get into active passive. So, by the way, prize line, WSB Weekend Prize Pack, prize line 404-741-0750 for the trivia question, 404-741-0750. And the great debate that rolls on, and listen, there's a lot happening in the world. We have this constant issue with North Korea, and now we have Trump befriending China. They're not a currency manipulator now, according to Trump, because he needs their pressure on North Korea. And that's going to continue to be a real geopolitical cloud until something happens or there's still some resolution there. The market seems to be okay with it for now because earnings are getting better. So we've had a really solid earnings season already, and we're looking at earnings growth in the double-digit range like we had talked about towards the end of last year, thinking this year would happen, and so far it's playing out. And even though we have this, the GDP report for the first quarter was a little less than 1%, there's an awful lot of data that shows that the hard data, so there's this debate between hard and soft data. The soft data, survey-based, so CEO confidence, consumer sentiment, the Bloomberg Comfort Index, the NFIB, the Small Business Optimism Survey, all at extraordinarily strong data points. So the sentiment of the country is continuing to be really optimistic. For the most part. Yes, the hard data, meaning like the actual numbers coming in, GDP less than 1%, car sales stagnating to some extent, retail spending stagnating a little bit, eventually and historically catches up to the soft data. So our sentiment actually leads us as a nation, and the numbers of the quote hard data eventually comes to fruition and follows through. And that we see this leading data, all this survey data, sentiment very strong. So I think that the actual economic brass tacks will eventually catch up to where sentiment is in America. But at the same time, you've got this swirl of geopolitics, and we've obviously have to keep a very close eye on that. That all dovetails back into, as you as an investor, do you just ride everything out, or do you have some sort of balanced strategy? I think one of the misconceptions about active investing versus passive investing. There's a big difference between being a pure indexer, so just owning the S&P 500 and letting it ride through all the ups and downs, up 10, up 20, down 20, down 30, down 50, relative to using low-cost indexes or ETFs in a slightly active way, meaning that a thoughtful balance. As soon as you put different pieces of the equation together, even though they might be passive vehicles like ETFs, you now have an active strategy. By the very nature of owning the U.S. and international, and let's say you own financials and bonds, now, even though they might be indexes, that's really an active strategy because you've chosen to have some diversification. So there's a big difference between these, the topic of, oh, well, passive investments beat active investments, just be passive, is really a misleading headline. And we're going to continue to talk about that here on the show for probably the rest of 2017. It's a major theme, along with what's happening in Washington and how that dovetails into the economy and your investments. News, weather, traffic straight ahead, then more Money Matters right here, News 95.5, AM 750, WSB.
Now back to Wes Moss with the money and investing advice you need.
Well, good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. Quick weather update with Luke Moss. Luke, let's hear it. What's going on with the weather, buddy?
Cloudy early with peaks of sunshine. Later, high of 85. Tonight, scattered showers and a low of 68. Monday, thunderstorms in the morning with partly cloudy skies. Late, high of 74. Low of 54.
Okay, good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here, WSB Radio. And we're going to really, if you look at what's happening coming up next week here, you've got lots of economic data headed out, lots of economic data headed personal income and spending. We've got more earnings coming out and we've got Altria, we've got Hilton, tons of earnings calls, tons of We've got the Federal Reserve coming up on Wednesday. We're just dealing with some technical difficulties here. Krista Wheeler helping me out with that on the fly. Are we back to normal here, Jason? Are we good to go? Yeah, okay. So so there's obviously a lot happening. I think that the predominant theme that will move markets for the rest of 2017 is going to go right back to what's happening geopolitically. So what happens with this tension in North Korea? Does it get settled? Or does it continue to heat up? And then what happens with GOP reform for healthcare and taxes? We know that we have a plan on the table. It seems as though there's a lot of appetite for this to get done, but this is a complicated process. You saw the tax proposal that came out, vague, lots of just bullet points. It's really just an outline, a one-page outline to reform the entire United States tax code. Lots of room for negotiation here. We're going to continue to keep you up to date and how that will impact you, your own finances, and your own retirement. You are listening to Money Matters. Stay tuned. WSB Radio for the rest of the day. The best program.